Hello and welcome back to the Loyal Sun Show. That's at the Loyal Suns on all the social medias. Follow us there. Follow us wherever you get your podcasts for Pitt sports content you don't want to miss. If you love Blake Henson and hate Joe Lenardi, this is the place for you. The Loyal Sun Show, a safe, sunshiny place for your Pitt athletics fix. I've got my co-hosts Squid and David with me today. We've also got our good friend Noah Hiles from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We're about a little less than 24 hours removed from the win over NC State on senior night. Fellas, how are we feeling on this oddly snowy Sunday afternoon?
Weird.
Conflicted.
A little bit pissed off, yeah.
I'm excited for DC. I got 3 days to myself before I have to really do a ton of work. So I'm going to see some museums, watch some Notre Dame, Georgia Tech. I'm feeling good.
Did you book that trip before you knew they'd have the double bye?
I sure did. I booked it. I remember the day I booked it. I booked it the day Eli Holstein spoke for the first time. So that would have been when? Like late January? And I remember calling my boss. I was like, don't think we're going to need a whole week this time, boss. Because last year we booked a hotel room for the whole week because we thought, like, there's a chance this team runs the table. So I said, yeah, they're probably going to be playing on Tuesday. Or no, I booked it before we went to Durham because they were 1-5. And I was like, all right, yeah, like, they're not going to do anything. I assumed that they'd be playing on Tuesday, one of the bottom five seeds. Maybe they win. They play Wednesday. At worst, or at best, they would win that game, and then they'd get bounced on Thursday. And at no point did I consider that they would, you know, finish red hot and get a top four seed for the first time ever since joining the league. And yeah, we did extend the Airbnb. So now I think our checkout's Friday. So if they win one game, like, we got to find a place to stay. Because, like, we're not driving home after the Friday night game if they lose, because that game tips off at 7. So we're going to be working until, like, midnight anyway. So, yeah, I it's a good problem to have, though, right? Like, you want to cover winning basketball. You like to enjoy the road a little bit. And I say, like, I'm not going to be working. I will. Like, you get access to all that kind of stuff. So just to be around it and have some time to really sit down and bang out some really good stories. It's exciting. It's going to be a fun week.
So if any listeners have an extra bed down in DC, no, might need to crash there Friday night.
Yeah. Friday night. Yeah. Me and Chris Carter, we can cuddle.
Now, is there any emotion knowing that this is potentially your last trip to cover Pitt sports?
Yeah, I was texting when I found out that I was getting promoted, for some people who probably don't know. Or
do you want to
So if some people don't know, there's a lot of people who probably don't know or care. At the end of March, I will be helping out with Pirates coverage this summer for the Post-Gazette. And there's a chance that that could just be my full-time beat moving forward. And I'll be very open with when I say, like, that's the goal for me. I would like to do that. It's nothing against covering Pitt. I've had a great time doing this over the last 2 years, but, you know, Major League Baseball is a bigger beast. It's a bigger challenge, and it's something that I would really, really like to tackle. Now there's a chance that I could do it this summer and be like, I want no part of this. I like Pitt. I'm comfortable at Pitt. I'm going to go back to Pitt. Or my bosses could decide, hey, Noah, we want you back at Pitt. So there's a chance I could be back, but this very well could be, you know, my last run. When I found out the news, there's a group chat we have called Johnstown Gym and the Blue Vase Boys. That's the group chat we have named. It's myself, Jim, Chris Carter, and Stephen Thompson. And I texted the group chat saying, we should get Chicago Bulls jerseys. It's the last dance. Because we've gone on so many road trips, you know, covered so many road games together. I'm excited, man. Like, getting to travel, being the only media member that has traveled to every road game, football and basketball, for the last 2 years, it has allowed me to really kind of have access that no one else has had to this program. I've seen the good and bad up close and personal. I was the only person talking to Jeff Capel after they got their doors blown off by Michigan and Brooklyn in 2022. I was the only person, you know, there for some football, the Keaton Slovis game at Louisville, having to ask all those questions by myself to Pat. Like, that was weird. But you're there for the good moments too. And, you know, you get some good stories out of it. Like, I remember when Nike, they asked him if he wanted to start the second half at Georgia Tech last year. And he said, no, keep Greg Elliott in. And that served, I think, as like an underrated point in the season to show how tough those teams were and how close they were. And getting to travel has been like my favorite part of all of this. And having a week away in DC and getting a chance to cover this team, which, I mean, they're two wins away from being in the ACC championship. They've only been this close once before. So it's exciting. And it's, you know, I'm not going to get too sappy about it, but it's been a very fun ride. It's been awesome getting to meet so many like Pitt fans. Like, it makes my day when I'm like sitting at the Pete and people are walking by the little media area and they say, hey, I liked your story, or I enjoyed your podcast. Or some people actually say, like, I love when you're on with the Loyal Sons. It's awesome. And like, that stuff makes my day, that like Pitt fans have gotten to know me a little bit, and just getting to know all the Pitt fans and supporters, you guys included. I mean, we didn't know each other before I started this job, and now I consider each of you friends. And like, it's been a lot of fun, and travel in this job, it's given me a lot of joy. So I'm sad that this could be the end, but at the same time, I'm very, very thankful for the past 2 years and all the experiences that I've had.
Are we still going to be friends, even though you're a baseball guy now?
Yeah, absolutely. Dude, I get to go to Pitt games with you if I'm not on the beat.
Oh, like, hell yeah.
Like, every game, I feel like I get a text Saturday morning, like, you stopping by the tailgate? And I always would. I would stop by and say hello, but it's like, I'd be walking in the press box, like, I kind of wish I was hanging out there more, you know? But, like, now I want to
do the,
like,
shot ski.
Right, yeah. Like, after the Pirates wrap up their world championship and I cover the parade and, you know, break the Otani trade news in early November, like, I'll be with you guys for whatever senior day is, when Cade Bell's offense is popping off 50 points a game and we're sitting there living the glory days. Right, I need to get some Pitt gear, and I'll be an honorary Loyal Son. I could be like a loyal cousin.
I think that has a beautiful ring to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you can tell us all the stuff that you found out before, and then you don't have to worry about, you know.
That's,
yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
But that's going
to
be a whole other episode.
I was going to say, we don't need to talk about it a ton, but I do, like I said, I texted these guys when I got the news of my promotion, and I have a file in my phone that's just called Pitt Classified. And it's all the secret things that I have not been able to report for one reason or another. There's some juicy stuff in there. And I might have told them one or two things in it, but I think there is, let me see how many bullet points. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 things that I have not, like, told anyone for one reason or another. And maybe we'll throw a couple of those out here on a podcast someday.
If EJ doesn't get to you before then.
Right? Hey, bud, just want to talk to you real quick. No, EJ's great. There's some good stuff in here, though.
EJ's knocking on David's door like, I'm going to need your microphone.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well,
we're going to work on the name, though, because I just looked it up. West Virginia has a podcast named The Loyal Cousins, so we can't use that.
I feel like that. Never mind. I can't tell if you're doing a bit or not. Yeah.
All right. Well, you're still covering Pitt for the time being, so we'll do the send off in the future. But last night we were all at the Pete, and not to gas you up too much here, but you had a great feature on Blake Henson, what his senior night would mean. Talk to us a little bit about. I mean, first off, everyone can acknowledge that Blake Henson dropping 20 plus on senior night was the lock of the century. I wish there were some player prop bets we could put in. But kind of your conversation with him and the mood you and the tone you got from him going into his last game at the Pete, because I really can't remember a Pitt athlete who really endeared themselves to the fan base quite like Blake has, especially in such a short period of time.
Right. That's what's interesting. I mean, I remember the first time talking to Blake, I didn't like him, quite frankly. I thought he had no interest in speaking with the media. He probably didn't. And it's because I didn't understand, like, we weren't aware of his backstory. Like, I would be callous too if I had gone through what he had gone through and been humbled the way he had been humbled. And it's been really cool to kind of follow the best part of his journey after the worst part just wrapped up and see him kind of come out of his shell to his teammates and then to the fans and then to the media and become this guy that, like you guys said, I mean, there are a lot of beloved Pitt basketball players since, you know, the turn of the century, right? But I don't know if there have been any that have had the love due to just sheer personality and connection with the city like him. Like, people love DeJuan Blair because he was a Pittsburgh kid, right? But, like, DeJuan Blair never made people laugh like Blake Henson made them laugh. Like, no one.
I laughed pretty hard when he threw Hasheem Thabeet over his shoulder. Yeah, but,
like, that was what I was saying. Like, a lot of – and, like, Blake has those on-court moments, right? He has those great moments. But, like, it's the off-court moments, too. Like, the things he says in post-game pressers or when we do the video Everything But Basketball or when he would go on Jamarius Burton's podcast with George Michalowski and just talk about everything and, you know, just be himself. It's – he really fell in love with this place. And so, like, yeah, the tenor of that conversation, I texted him beforehand. I was like, look, like, a lot of people have written a lot of stuff about you here. Like – I've had this idea all season and I've been taking notes. I have a special colored pen for my notepad. It's a purple ink pen. And anytime somebody said a good quote about Blake, be it an opposing coach, a teammate, him, like himself, Capel, I would timestamp the day and, you know, the time in the recording. I'm like, that's something we can use potentially for the profile that we're going to run on him on senior day. And so I spoke with his dad and I texted him. I was like, hey, like who are some good people to talk to? I like talked to his childhood best friend. And like that quote, none of those quotes showed up in the story. But like I had a 30-minute conversation with him. I talked to his dad for like an hour. And the last person I spoke to his high school coach, whole bunch of people. The last person I spoke to was Blake. And I told him, like, he knew I was working on this. And we have a good relationship because I've been to every game of his career at Pitt. And, you know, we've had some good conversations on and off the record. And we were just kind of sitting there in the Pete. And yeah, it was kind of surreal to go from my first impression of the guy where I'm like, all right, get him off the podium. Can we talk to Nelly? Can we talk to Jake? Can we talk to someone who wants to talk to us, please? To now where it's like, man, like I'm going to miss this being a part of my work day. Like, I really look forward to interacting with him. You don't root for anyone, but whenever he's gone, I hope he does well. Like, I will follow whatever it is he does basketball wise after Pittsburgh. And the conversation was just so open and honest, right? I mean, the stuff he, like, I didn't know West Virginia was ever in the picture for him. And for him to reveal that was a shock. I mean, Iowa State's been the subject where he would not open up about that ever. He would just say they didn't want me. That's all he would say.
Yeah, it was intense when they would talk about it last year in March Madness.
Yeah, he would say, like, I'm only talking about teams that are in the tournament now. Like, he said that after they beat Iowa State. And before that game, like, he would say, like, I'm not talking about them. I'm only talking about my team. Like, he was, like, going out of his way to avoid that subject. And for him to open up about that and, like, really what went wrong there, he had never done that before. And then for him to talk about even Ole Miss and just say, there was so much stuff that he said that I didn't get to include in the story because you can only write so much, right? You got to keep it to a length where people are going to want to finish the damn thing. But just some stories he shared, like he said numerous times. He was like, the difference between me now and me as a freshman was that I was arrogant. I was cocky. I did not know the difference between cocky and confident. And now I do. And, you know, you don't come across many people in life where they can call themselves humble and they're actually humble, right? Normally, when someone defines themselves as a humble person, they're probably not. But he is. He's a guy that, like, is truly grateful for what he has. And don't get me wrong, the arrogance can certainly come out, especially on the court. But he could have a lot bigger of an ego than what he does. And his teammates love him. There's certain other elements to him that I will be writing in another story coming out this week about kind of like how he's transitioned into a leader. And I'm really, really glad. My biggest takeaway from that talk, just seeing how, you know, open he was, how honest he was, and honestly how emotional he got at the end. My biggest takeaway was, I'm glad this city appreciates him the way it does. Like, I'm glad he gets the ovations that he did. And just the love on social media and all this praise, like, he deserves it. He deserves it. Like, Pitt basketball fans deserved him too. After going through the hell that they went through for those years, like, there was a good chance, or there was a good period of time where I'm sure you three and the rest of the fan base were all sitting around thinking, we're never going to have a good player like DeJuan Blair or Sam Young ever again. And he's a legit superstar. He hasn't achieved team-wise what those guys have achieved, but, like, on an individual basis, I mean, he is just as of an important piece to this program's history than pretty much any name you can throw out there.
Yeah, I think it says a lot that you just said there. He didn't have as much team success as those guys that have the high approval ratings like he does, like the Brandon Knights, LaVance Fields, and all them. Like, if we were a 4 seed back then, we'd be pissed off. Yeah. Last year, we were, like, the actual last team in, and it was just as enjoyable because guys like Blake Hinson. So it was like the perfect meeting point of Pitt, Blake Hinson. Here we are.
It's the timing of it's perfect too, right? Because, like, I think the three of the four most beloved Pitt basketball players in my lifetime were on the same team together. I think there's Brandon Knight, and then I think there's LaVance, Sam, and DeJuan. And then you could throw in Krauser, you can throw in Julius Page, there's a whole bunch of others, but I think those are probably the Mount Rushmore of 2000 and beyond. That's probably the top four, right? Before Blake and JB and all those guys. But, like, you look, Knight was a part of the established success, right? Like, get to the Big East Tournament Championship, win it. But then after that, like, Sam Young, DeJuan Blair, LaVance Fields, those guys were good because the program was supposed to have good players at that point in time. Right. They'd been to, like, 4 Sweet 16s. It's like, these are the caliber of athlete that should be at a program like Pitt. Blake Hinson did not belong. Or, I mean, he did, right? But, like, this story did not belong in the Pitt basketball program in 2022. There was no reason for someone with his talent to be here unless if it had what happened to him attached to it. If he flamed out at Ole Miss, it fell off the map at Iowa State, and this was his last chance. That, like you said, Squid, it was a perfect meeting point for two things that, like, Pitt would have never got a player of this talent if it wasn't for that, and Blake wouldn't have never been here if it wasn't for what had happened to him. And it's just, it's a tremendous story. And it was, when those ones fall into your lap, you're listening to the quotes, and you're just like, well, this tells itself, just don't screw it up. And it was a fun one to share.
Yep. Like, you were talking about how humble Blake is. And I was thinking this while I was reading your story about, like, how appreciative he is of Pitt and Pittsburgh. Like, there was a tailgate this year. It might've been the Cincinnati game, I want to say. He, like, DM'd us after we posted a picture of the wings. He was like, can I come through? And I was like, yes, Blake, you can come to our tailgate. But it was like, can I come? And he came through, grabbed some wings. We had football on the TV, and he just like hung out there and talked to everyone like he was just another fan going to the game. And he really is just a really cool dude who just like, I think he just appreciates Pittsburgh too. And like you said, he's gained that appreciation, and they show it back. But it's like, he is just, everything about him is so perfect for that. Like, he does those type of things, but then he shoots 30-foot threes and then taunts the Cameron crazies. Yeah. Like, he's like a, if you just made up like a cartoon character to go play basketball for Pitt, it would be Blake Henson.
No, and that's my favorite part about his story this year. You think about heading into the 2022-23 season. Who was supposed to be the star, the leader of that team? It was a guy who was there for 8 games, right? Like, that was supposed to be the feature piece that everyone built. That was the headliner going into that group. That, oh, we added this Henson kid. We added, oh, this Lincoln Park star, you know, who played at Colgate forever, and the sixth man from Marquette. And they're all going to be side pieces, you know, built around this force down low, and he's going to be the one you're all writing and talking about this year.
And maybe this freshman, Dior Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's for the next episode. Yeah, that's for the next episode.
Yes. But
the tell all.
Yes. So anyway, but like coming into this year, that was the narrative, right? This is Blake Henson's team. He needs to step up and be a leader this year. How is he going to do that? He was the fun guy, right? JB was like Captain America. Nelly was the strict leader. How is Blake going to go from being this to that? And is he going to be able to replicate that production with the focus on him? He's just a shooter. He can't consistently do this when they're keying on him, right? This dude has exceeded every expectation we put on him. And he had very high expectations. Very high. Jeff said in the first media availability, he is our best player, and we have high, you know, we're going to ask him to do things that we're not going to ask anyone else. And he did it. Like his effort at Cameron Indoor, both during the game and the first 10 seconds afterward, it changed the course of this season. And yeah, you just don't see that a lot in sports where the story plays out as ideal as possible. It's a rare thing, and it's a special thing when it happens.
Before we move on to the rest of the basketball season, I think we should have an impromptu draft of our favorite Blake Henson moment ever, right, on or off the floor. No repeats, so who wants to go first?
How many do we get? Just one each? Two each? What are we going to do? Snake draft?
We go until we run out.
Yeah.
Okay. Go until you run out.
I need something to write down here because I've got a couple that immediately come to mind. All right.
Squid, you came up with it. You get first pick.
Wow. I don't know if I like first pick. It's a lot of pressure, a lot of tough ones to pick.
Spit it out.
I'm going Taunt of the Cameron Crazies. That's one of the coolest things a Pitt guy's ever done. Like, we watch on every single Pitt pump up video, LeVance Field step back three, that Blake Henson picture standing on the scorer's table will live in infamy like that. But the fact that that wasn't an extremely obvious 1-1 just kind of sets the tone for how tough this is going to be.
I'm just smiling, writing down all of mine. There's so many good memories here.
You want to go next, Noah, as our...
I'm going to share one that, like, you guys probably, I don't even know if you're aware of. And I really wanted this to go in the story, but I'll give this is a Loyal Suns exclusive here for you. So the game that changed last season was Northwestern, of course, right? So before that game, I'm up in the corner of their press box is like an upper deck corner. And I'm just watching them shoot around. I just got to Chicago from Miami. Pitt football put a whooping on the Hurricanes. I was like, all right, well, now I've got to go watch the worst of these two teams play. So I get there and I'm setting my stuff up, I'm about to tweet my stupid, I suppose this seat will do, tweet. And I see Blake making eye contact across the court from like with like three Northwestern guys. And I'm like, what's he doing? Does he know these dudes? So he walks up to him. They like meet each other up at half court and they say some words. And Blake walks away like, yeah, like smiling to the rest of this team. And the other dudes from Northwestern are like, what is his deal? Like, they were like dejected. And we know what happens in that game, right? Like, Pitt just beats the snot out of him. So Bill Hillgrove also saw this. And he was a little closer than me. And the guy he talked to was Boo Booey, who was like their star player on the team.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, Hillgrove says, my observation was afterwards, he's pointing to his coach saying, that's the guy who said this, the bad man right there kind of thing. Like, and so I finally, after a year had passed, I got to ask him about this. And he's okay with me sharing this because I said, like, is this on record? He's like, I ain't tripping. Those were his exact words. So I brought it up. I was like, what happened there? And he goes, man, he's like, well, first things first, like always, they said something to me first. And then he goes on to explain that they didn't. But so he said he was watching his matchup in layup lines. And he's like, I've got my headphones on. I'm jamming to music. Watch my matchup. He does a layup. And he's like, I'm just standing there. And I go, well, that sucked or something like that. And he's like, they must have heard me or something, because then I see them making eye contact with me and they say, well, why don't you worry about your own group? So he goes, I went over there. I said some things that I don't know if I remember or not. And then I run back. I'm like, they already talking. They're instigating me. They're starting it. They're already talking. And that inspired them to go play Chief Keef in the locker room and get all fired up. That, remember the Chief Keef storyline on Twitter, how they would always play him before the games? That started in Chicago because they're in Chicago and everything. And they were blasting that during Northwestern's media availability. The media room post game is right next door to the Pitt locker room. So while their coaches and players are talking about getting waxed by 30 points, you hear "That Shit I Don't Like" by Chief and thank Blake's God voice screaming. And it's just a tremendous story. And that win like sparked an NCAA tournament appearance. And that win was sparked by Blake Henson being instigated by a man making a layup. So that's a story. I were you guys familiar with this story at all?
No.
I didn't know the Chief Keef part, but I did not know the Chief Keef thing.
Because I asked him after the game, I was like, did the music, what music were you guys listening to in there? He's like, I can't comment. And I was like, what inspired you guys to play so well? He goes, I think it was the music, which is, you know, a typical Blake answer. But yeah, so there's an exclusive there that didn't get into the story, but I'm glad I could share somewhere for people to enjoy. Sorry, that was a long-winded pick, but I feel like it was worth it.
It was worth it.
Half of his quotes sound like Rick James on the Chappelle Show, like, yes. Man, I had more sense than that. I wasn't rubbing my feet all up in his couch. Okay. Yeah, I remember rubbing my feet up in his couch.
Yeah.
Dylan, you want to go next?
So many here, but this is one I just got to take. It's still on the board. The shot against Mississippi State, because I don't know if there's a single play on court moment that really represents who Blake is, other than just catching and firing from 30 feet, Capel hands on his head, like, what are you doing?
And then Jason Capel's doing the balls, yeah.
big balls celebration. Yeah. That play, I mean, if Blake didn't do like 8 things this year that are just as cool or cooler than that, that would have been the play that like represents his Pitt career. But obviously he's done more Blake things.
Does a lot of Blake things. Can't believe you guys let this fall to me. But the 40-point game.
Yeah.
41-point game. He was just out of his mind. I remember I was out on the concourse. Not the concourse. I was out I wasn't inside the stadium. I don't know. I'm losing words. It's a Sunday. I was talking to my parents and my fiance, and I was getting like the third degree from my parents about this job I was applying to. And the whole time I'm like, I keep looking up and he just rips a three. And I was like, guys, I think we need to get back in there. Like, I think Blake might just hit 50. So I duck my way out of that conversation back inside, and he just has like 38 points, and everybody in the damn Pete is like on their feet every time he touches the ball. And he was just unbelievable. And it was, you know, I still think he has important basketball to play this year, because we're going to make that run that we need to make in the ACC. And then we're going to the tournament. But that just felt like the cherry on top of the Blake Hinson ride.
I like it.
Is Squid on the board or am I up now? No, Squid has another pick, right?
Do we go Snake or are we just going on? I don't know. Fine. Go back to Squid. We're just naming favorite Blake moments.
Yeah, mine is going to be from our golf outing. it is off the court. For those that don't know, the Loyal Sons Rendine Consulting golf outing took place at Quicksilver this year, and we had about 15 football players, and Zach Austin, Ish Leggett, and Blake Hinson were there as basketball players. And Blake does not golf. I don't know if he's ever golfed. So he was a celebrity putter on a hole. So you could pay 10 or 20 bucks, would go to charity, and Blake would be able to putt for your foursome as well. And the funny thing is, I didn't see Blake beforehand. I'm like, oh, is Blake here? And someone's like, oh, yeah, you got to see his outfit too. So eventually we get around to whatever hole that was, and Blake is just wearing the most perfect, like, 1950s, like, golf sweater vest.
Argyle sweater.
It was a black and red Argyle sweater, yeah, and these huge cargo pants. And it was, like, every bit of 95 degrees that
day. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So we get up there. We're like, Blake, how you doing? And he was, like, actually upset. He's like, I haven't made a putt all day. I'm getting a little upset. Like, I'm doing bad. And we're like, don't worry, we'll help you out here. Oop. First three people hit. It was me, Dylan, Gavin Bartholomew was in our foursome. None of us have a good tee shot. And our other buddy shot him out. Mike Vaughn puts one to legitimately maybe 3 inches from the hole. And Blake got as excited then as he did whenever they won the play-in game. He was like, let's go. I'm going to make a putt. I'm going to be able to make a putt.
So I can make that.
He taps in this 3-inch putt. We all chest bump each other. It was glorious. He made us like do an interview right there to talk about it. And I'm like, this guy's averaging 20 points a game in Division I college basketball. And that was the thing that just happened.
And he also put on a show in the Q&A.
Yeah, the bonus pick I have here, because it happened at the outing, was during the Q&A, when asked a simple question of like, what would you do if you don't play basketball, he said he would be an R&B singer. Yep. And got up and started singing and dancing for everybody, and nobody saw it coming, but boy were we glad that it happened.
So there's still a lot here that I could go through, but I'm just picking ones that like are close to like that pop up in my brain that I can really appreciate. I think one of the funniest sound bites he ever gave was last year at March Madness. I asked him, Nike, and Greg what it meant to them that Barack Obama picked Pitt to beat Iowa State in his bracket. And he just goes, Barack, what up? You think you're going to see this? Yo, Barack, that's love. And I'm just like cracking up. And like Greg and Nike were like of the same, you know, energy. Like they were all just pumped. But like we must have said, Barack, what up? Like about 30,000 times the remainder of that week. It's probably like my favorite 3-word quote that he's ever given us. So that'll be my pick.
Yeah, there's sometimes whenever he's strictly business in those interviews, like he's the leader now, leader of the team. You got to be professional, but every once in a while he'll sneak in like a very good, funny, often unintentionally funny quote.
Mm-hmm. Nothing unintentional about it. He's the funniest guy alive.
But he's not trying to be funny. He's like, yeah, this is just what I think, and I'm trying to be serious, but it's just that funny.
All right, I'll take this one. It was probably my earliest memory of Blake. I didn't go to their exhibition game last year against Edinburgh, where he went crazy against the PSAC squad, but I was at the opener against UT Martin, and from the very opening tip, him and Greg Elliott were like, he's shouting to the zoo, like pumping them up. Mind you, it's an opener against UT Martin. There's probably 3,000 people in the arena, and that might be generous. But the zoo had a decent showing, and they're over there clapping to them, pumping them up. And I'm not kidding. I think like the first four possessions, they talk shit to a UT Martin player, like every single bucket. Like there was like a timeout they had to take to stop a run, and they're just shit talking this low major team. And it's those two. I'm like, these two are like the Bash brothers. Like they're just out there not giving a damn. And I was like, that was the first time where I was like, all right, this team might be a little bit different because these guys seem like they care and they're into it and they're playing with a little bit of fight. But I just remember thinking like, these two are absolutely giving it to these UT Martin guys who they're beating by 20 points. It was great. That was, and really hasn't changed much since, but that was my first real impression of Blake Inson.
And then later that game, Parker Stewart got ejected.
Yep.
For, I think it was a dirty foul, and like they ran it over at the zoo, like, yeah, like let them hear it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why this one comes to mind for mine, so I have to go with it. It was actually a missed shot that I remember so well. You guys remember Miami last year? And we were kind of getting like our brakes blown off the whole game. I feel like Poplar couldn't miss a shot. Like we were just getting killed. And we went on this little baby run in like the last 2-3 minutes. And somehow, by like the grace of God, got within three. We were getting just shelled the whole game. And Blake put up that last second shot where his full body was facing like the far side bench. And he had a guy completely suffocating him. He might have shot the ball one-handed, like from half court. Like slung it like a slingshot. I can't even describe it. And the whole way there, the ball looked like it was going in. And it missed by an inch. Would have been the game-tying shot. Would have been a huge win for Pitt.
Would have been a game tie or a game winner.
I think it would have been a game winner. I think they lost by two.
And they would have won the ACC regular season title.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that was the context. And just only Blake, you know, guys pressing up on him. Absolutely no body control could have made that come as close as it did. It was such a heartbreaker, but like it's just a reminder to me that there is not a shot Blake Inson could attempt that would make me say, come on, Blake. Like, I don't care if there's a full 25 seconds on the shot clock and he's pulling up from the logo with three guys in his face. I'm thinking, yeah, I mean, if you're Blake, you got to try it. Like, you're in range. You're in the gym. You're in range. You might as well try it. It could go in. But yeah, just the reminder that at any given moment, he can be the hero like that. And he's, you know, the guy that you always want with the ball in his hands in clutch moments, even if that one didn't go in, but the next one will.
Do we want to give off some honorable mentions?
Yeah, I have a list here. I think my favorite interactions I've ever had with them are the two anything but basketball videos that I've done. The first one in the locker room where he was talking about the price of engagement rings and everything. And the second one I did at the ACC media day where he was trying to get Coy Leray to come to their game in Brooklyn. He was talking about his RMB desires. just a whole bunch of great. Oh, I asked him about the lady who went on a date, a first date, and got 4 dozen oysters, and what he would do in those situations. Just his reaction to dating, pop culture, news is fantastic. Two other things. I can't believe no one picked the West Virginia game this past year.
I know. That's kind of a testament to Blake that a guy can hit 9 threes against our
program record,
arch rival, and not end up on there. That was one of my honorable mentions.
And another unintentionally funny Blake Hinson quote, whenever he was asked about the 3-point record after Louisville, he was like, yeah, I didn't know that was close to the record, but it's one that I held. So, like, yeah.
That's cool.
And everyone laughed. And he's like, I wasn't trying to be funny or, like, cocky. That's just what I was thinking.
Yeah. I think seeing him get to, you know, when you win in the tournament, they give you the sticker to, like, put on the bracket that when you event. They let him do that after they beat Iowa State. I thought that was a really cool clip to see on social media. That's even a lot cooler now that we know, like, the full story behind that. And then this is a personal one for me as well, because I get to sit pretty up close at some road venues, and I get to hear him talk in some games. When they were playing at Louisville, I got to, like, kind of see, like, Leader Blake in action for the first time. And anytime they would huddle that game, they would get all, he'd go, all right, shut up and pay attention. And then he would start talking. He said it like every time, just something quick like that was just like, it was just funny. You know, it's just like, he's like a dad out there with like these freshmen playing, and I don't know, a lot of That's good awesome. Stories.
Yeah. And I mean, we could keep going here. Yeah. He had that game winning tip in against Miami last year. Just about any time he like pump fakes from 40 feet and we think he's actually going to shoot it. Those are all great. But we've just done about 40 minutes on Blake Hinson, and Pitt is right on the bubble and on the precipice of breaking into March Madness or getting sent to the NIT. So I think it would be irresponsible to not do 10 to 15 minutes to preview this ACC tournament and figure out what the hell Pitt needs to do to get any respect from these bracketologists and actually bust their way in on Selection Sunday.
It's not much of a secret that I have a home field apparel problem. Even before we started this show, I couldn't even step foot on a new college campus without making sure there was something from that school's home field collection waiting on my porch when I got home. So we are, understandably, over the moon to partner with Home Field this season to keep Pitt fans comfy, cozy, and stylish at a fraction of the price by using promo code LOYALSUNS for 15% off your next order. This discount applies site-wide, and with unique vintage collections for every school from Pitt to Bama, Jackson State to Colgate, Michigan, Marshall, Marquette, and both Miamis, there's something for every fan. So whether you're buying for a Pitt fan or for a loser freak, use promo code LOYALSUNS at homefieldapparel.com to save big on your next order. Each code applies once per email address, so get those work emails and burners ready. That's homefieldapparel.com.
So, preview, Pitt got the double bye. First time they've done it since entering the ACC. They have the winner of Wake Forest versus the winner of Florida State and Georgia.
It's Georgia Tech and Notre Dame.
Georgia Tech, Notre Dame. Thank you. So, more than likely Wake, but you never know what happens. It's March. Anything could happen. Does Pitt need to make it to the ACC championship game to get in to the field of 68?
Yeah, they do. I think...
what the fuck?
They do. It's... Lenardi talked about it yesterday. It's their strength of schedule and non-conference. I mean, it's bad. Like, they didn't know what... It would have been a lot better. You want to be mad at someone, be mad at West Virginia. Because if Bob Huggins had ordered an Uber, that team would have been a lot better this year. And that
an Uber from Columbus to Morgantown, yeah.
You know, he can afford it. But all those cans, right? He's recycled them. He could pay for an Uber. But, yeah, like, what I mean, they only played four power six opponents in non-conference. And three of those four teams they played were bad. West Virginia is a bottom tier Big 12 team. Missouri is a bottom tier SEC team, and Oregon State's a bottom tier Pac-12 team. And they got beat by like 20 by the one good non-conference team that they had. I mean, you want to look at the difference between this year's group and last year's group. Last year's group was nowhere near where this group is in KenPom and net. It finished lower in the regular season standings because it was a 5 seed in the ACC tournament. This year's a 4 seed. The big difference is this team was better in its conference play record-wise, and it had a statement victory in non-conference. This group doesn't. And when, if you're in the Big 12, you can get away with that because, you know, they manipulate the net the way they do, and you get a lot of quad one opportunities. And I'm willing to even say the Big 12 is a better league than the ACC. Is it as good as what we think it is? Probably not, but it's a good league. But with Pitt, I mean, these ACC wins don't mean a ton. So you're going to have to beat Wake Forest in a game where that game is a matchup between two teams where the loser is not going to March Madness. So that's not a play-in game. It's a loser leaves
playoff game.
Play out game. And then you're probably playing North Carolina for a chance to go to March Madness. And if you lose, you're probably not going. I mean, should they go? Absolutely. I mean, if you've watched this team since January 20th, the way it plays against, I don't know, the best teams it's played, it's definitely, I mean, it's not a 5 or 6 seed, but it's better than it was last year, in my opinion. So if that last year's team made it to Dayton, this team should probably be in Dayton or a little ahead, but it's just too far out. It's too far out, and it's not just Lenardi who thinks this, guys. Like, it's, you look around, like,
yep,
every bracketologist has this team as one of the first 6 teams out. So, and it's been like that all year. Last year, there was worry, right? Are they going to make it? Are they going to make it? Everyone had them in last year. It was, can they sustain it? This year, they need a lot to go right outside of their control. You figure if Loyola Chicago wins or Richmond wins the Atlantic 10, there's a bid stolen from a bubble team. If Drake wins the Missouri Valley, there's a bid stolen.
They just did. So.
Oh, there you go. Well, there's a bid stolen because Indiana State's getting an auto or an at-large bid. So, you know, someone, if St. John's or Villanova or Providence wins the Big East, there's another bid stolen. So the margin for error here, they're on the outside looking in and they don't have a lot of opportunity. So yes, you're going to have to kill one of the teams that you're competing with in your first game, which is Wake Forest, and then you're going to have to beat probably a 1 seed in March Madness, North Carolina, and getting to the ACC championship might be enough. I would think it would be enough. But yeah, that's probably the best route, aside with the exception of obviously winning the whole thing.
It feels like we're being punished for this absurd national view of the ACC that just isn't in line with the ACC's recent successes in the tournament, or you know, the teams at the top of the conference or the depth that the conference has. People have just sort of decided, people, you know, smarter than me, I'll admit it, I just don't know where it's coming from, that the ACC is a mediocre conference and that everybody should be weighted negatively as a result.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, you know, like Brownell pointed out how the Big 12 manipulates the net. The ACC could try to do this too, but the problem is, you look at some random ACC schedules. Like, I was looking through, like, Boston College, for example. They only win by, like, 4 against the Citadel. Stuff like that. Like, the Big 12 doesn't have those errors. They don't lose those games. They win them. Like, if you're going to try to manipulate it as a conference, You have to execute.
You still have to win by 40 when you play.
You have to blow them out. And that's the problem, is Louisville's not blowing these bad teams out. That brings the rest of the league down. Boston College, Georgia Tech, like, and then these aren't specific. I think the Boston College one that I gave out was, I think they really did only beat the Citadel by like 4, 6, 8 points, something like that. But Pitt did its part in that frame. Like, I really do think Jeff kind of tried to emulate that schedule. I mean, they only had 4 Power 6 non-conference games. And they had the right plan in mind, and it almost worked. If they didn't lose to Missouri at home, it probably would have worked.
If they draw someone else in the ACC-SEC challenge, maybe any other SEC team.
I mean, but you got to beat them. If you beat them, like, a damning thing, you know? And like I said, the West Virginia element of it, too, you could point out. But it's also, your league's got to be good enough to beat the bad teams by a lot. And there are some teams, like Notre Dame was so bad at the start of this season. And there's, you want to be mad at people. There are other fingers to point. Obviously, Pitt needs to beat Syracuse at least once. It needs to not get blown out by Florida. It needs to, but like, that's the game, man. And it's unfortunate that this is the way teams are evaluated. It is. But I don't know, until we find out a better way to go about it. I mean, the RPI was flawed as well. And this is the evaluation system that exists. Pitt did a better job. Again, the net in KenPom, those were the enemies last year. I remember having to interview Ken Pomeroy and be like, please explain to me why Pitt fans hate you. That's not the issue this year.
I was one of those people.
Yeah. Same. That's not the issue this year. It's just strength of schedule, and you're not going to get it. You're not going to make up for it by continuing to win against a league filled with teams that are viewed to be mediocre. Albeit, I don't think they are, but that's the people making the decisions do. So, yeah, I think they got to make it to Saturday.
Well, enough looking in the past. Nothing we can do to change that. Tell me why Pitt is going to make it to Saturday.
All right.
And if you don't believe that they are, lie to me.
Yeah. I mean, this is the same podcast where I had the football team winning the Orange Bowl.
This is the first time you've been on, I think, since
I did once. This is the first time I've been on since half of Pitt fans started hating me. So that's cool. So why they're going to do it. All right. There's multiple routes, obviously. Let's go with the most expected, right? The chalk path. Wake Forest, Pitt. Pitt's got a lot of motivation heading into that one, right? The last time they played against Wake Forest was probably the worst basketball game the program has put together since Michigan beat the doors off of them in Brooklyn in November of 2022. And there was no reason. I mean, that team back then deserved to lose by that much. They hadn't figured itself out. West Virginia had just handed them a similar whooping less than a week prior to that. This Pitt team had no business losing by 33 in Winston-Salem last month. It knows it. Wake Forest knows it. And they're going to be hungry. And of those two, Pitt's playing the better basketball right now. I don't care that Wake Forest just beat Clemson. Pitt's playing the better basketball. It's playing more efficiently. And of those two teams, Pitt has the best player. And it might have the best two players of those two teams. So that's why Pitt beats Wake Forest. Now, North Carolina
loses to Virginia Tech.
No, I think here's the thing with that. North Carolina's in a spot where what does it have to play for in D.C.? It's a one or a two, regardless. And you look like this is something you see with a lot of blue bloods. Like Duke doesn't, I mean, Duke won the ACC tournament last year, but it hadn't won it in a while prior to that, I believe. You know, it's the teams that are like a 3 seed trying to get to a 1 seed. Those are like the powerhouses you don't want to run into, right? But like for North Carolina, like it can lose the Pitt. It's still going to be like a 2 at worst, right? Probably, maybe even will be a one still. So, and they were going to look at it like, oh, well, we get to rest now. We get a couple, you know, we get an extra couple of days before Selection Sunday to regroup. We just beat Duke. We just swept Duke in Cameron Indoor. You think we're going to be up as much against Pitt?
Yeah, their championship was last night.
I mean, their championships
is on
April 5th.
In April, yeah,
but, yeah. But like, yeah,
their regular season, their conference championship was.
They quite literally did. Yeah, exactly. They have nothing to play for here. Pitt has everything to play for. There's that element. The other element of it is Pitt probably should have, I don't want to say beat North Carolina, but go ahead and watch the first half of that game before it got away from them. Pitt was leading for probably like the first 9-10 minutes. It should have been up by like 15.
Yeah, we couldn't hit a shot.
No, they shot, I believe, a season worse from the floor that game. And again, that's before Jalen Lowe. He just wasn't like, he was still new. I think that was maybe his second career start ever. So I just, obviously Pitt's a different team. North Carolina also could just come in and be North Carolina and beat Pitt. But you asked for a path there. The Wake Forest game, I mean, it's a battle between two teams who have beat each other once, both of them on their home court, and now they're playing on a neutral court. So that's a coin flip. North Carolina, like I said, they have maybe 1/10 of the motivation in that game compared to Pitt. So there's your route right there. And then the other route is, of course, upsets. Notre Dame has been playing well down the stretch. It could beat Georgia Tech, and it could upset Wake Forest, and Pitt could get an easy first game on Thursday and be charged up for North Carolina. Or it could be the opposite, where North Carolina gets upset by a Virginia Tech, or who's the other team at the top there? Is it Florida State?
Florida State.
Yeah. Two teams that know they need to win the whole thing to get in. They take down the Tar Heels, and Pitt takes advantage of their big win hangover. So there are routes. I know I just got everyone excited, but I will say, like, this would be the if they get to the championship, it would be the most notable accomplishment this program has had since Jamie Dixon left, and maybe probably since it entered the ACC.
I mean, let's think about that for a second. In 6 days, Pitt could. And it's not like a pipe dream. Pitt could be playing for an ACC championship in
Madison. Yeah, it's two wins away. It is two victories away from playing. We are two Pitt wins away from Panther Nation drinking green beer, waking up from a nap post-Pittsburgh parade on St. Patty's Day, or the day before St. Patty's Day, Noah Howell's birthday, waking up and watching the Pitt Panthers compete against Duke or whoever in the ACC title game. And I will add this in there. If they go to the ACC title game and lose by 20, they still might not make it. So just...
If a 23-win ACC team loses in the ACC title game and doesn't get in, I'm not disagreeing with you, but heads will roll.
A 23-win ACC team didn't make the tournament last year.
Yeah, Wake, right? Or
no,
Clemson. Yeah. Yeah, they won a game in the tournament.
Yeah, they won 14 games in league play. So
if you're,
that's why I've said all week leading up to this, 24 is the magic number, and that you didn't want the double bye, so you could get 3 wins in DC, get to the championship game, and there's no way they're keeping you out with 24 wins. 23, an embarrassing showing on Saturday night. I don't know. But again, so you're looking at having to potentially beat a bubble team, a one seed, and then getting to the championship. And, I mean, if they run into Duke there, I can tell you Duke is going to want to run it up if they get the opportunity. So it's not going to be easy.
So to flip it back to the positive,
yeah,
because you just took us down a really dark place, and now I kind of want to go to bed.
Listen, but the last preview episode I did, you had me making Phil Djokovic out to be like Patrick Mahomes. So I feel like I need to maybe be a little bit more keen in my analysis, maybe a little bit more grounded.
I don't know what show you think you're on.
Okay.
Yeah, I just missed out on my Pitt loses to Notre Dame on a overtime field goal prediction.
All right. So Pitt needs.
Let's not talk about Pitt Notre Dame on when I'm on.
No, no. What that's that is again for the next for you, okay. For the goodbye episode.
Yeah. Oh, I got some goodbyes.
You had some thoughts on that one.
Yeah. Okay, but write them down and put them in a vase. And...
Yeah.
To review, we need to revenge murder Wake Forest.
Just beat. Yeah. Yeah.
We need to catch UNC sleeping / unmotivated, or we need some worse teams to do some dirty work for us.
Yeah. You need to win two games. That's as simple as it gets. Two games and not get embarrassed. Get to Saturday. If Pitt's playing on Saturday and it's playing well on Saturday, one would think it would be fine.
The easiest route? Just win the whole fucking thing.
Yep, there it is.
And then win the national championship.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need a Jalen Lowe, Shabazz Napier run.
This could get interesting. This is going to be fun, or it could be very unfun very quickly. Noah, you thought you worked... Hopefully, you've worked your last Pitt basketball game in the Pete. Well, unless you come back, whatever. Da, da. But NIT, you host a game. Let's hope Pitt's not hosting a game in the NIT.
I won't be covering the NIT regardless. I will be in Bradenton.
We will.
Yeah, but you guys will. You guys will have the post. You can have the PG credential.
If you think I won't be in the arena for an NIT game.
Let me ask you guys this. If Pitt wins the NIT, among the three of you, over, under, 2.5 pieces of NIT championship merchandise purchased.
Oh, I will have an NIT championship t-shirt.
So among the three of you, so that's one piece right there.
Might even get a hat.
You can think about all you want. I will not be purchasing any NIT gear. And this is coming from a guy that attended game 3 of the Pitt Washington State CBI championship in 2012. It was a great game, great atmosphere. I love the best of three, like home, away, home. Or,
great game, great atmosphere. Was
it? I think it was literally general admission. It was you paid $20, you sit wherever you want. And yeah, we got to see Pitt hoist a trophy in the Pete. Tlaib Zana holding up the crystal ball.
David?
You set the line at 1.5?
Mm-hmm.
Two and
so
a
if
half,
you get right? one, if you get one thing, but you know, who knows? It could be a nice Easter present for someone, gift for a significant other. You're telling me you don't want to get your old man? None of you want to get your dad a nice NIT championship hat?
Oh, I'd be furious.
I mean, if I got Tori an NIT championship. Like t-shirt or bandana that could be her something blue when we get married next year. So let me put it this. Let me answer your question this way. Losing by 20 in the first round of the NCAA championship is preferable to winning an NIT championship in my eyes.
Yeah. Losing by 20 in the first round of the NCAA tournament is.
Yeah. Like the first. In first Dayton. War, yeah. However, I'd probably I can't not get a Pitt championship t-shirt, right?
I was gonna say you have my word.
Even if for the irony,
if they win the NIT, I will get you each a piece of Pitt NIT championship merch, and it'll I will get myself. That will be the first Pitt merchandise I have purchased since taking over the beat, and that will be what I wear when
can we make
a deal?
You should get a tattoo, and then a 2024 NIT championship tattoo. It would be the only championship Pitt has won during your coverage. I think it only makes sense.
Or we can compromise.
We can revisit that.
Tattoos seem a little harsh. What if we get you a nice NIT championship hat and you wear it to Pirates opening day? Would you do that?
I would rather probably get the tattoo. But
all right, we've said the word NIT. We've said the three letters NIT way too much for a Pitt team who's going to be in the quarterfinals on Thursday. I mean, just win, baby. Noah, appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah,
appreciate us being able to tell all these Blake stories. Appreciate you getting our hopes up and then kind of tearing them down for this ACC tournament run. And appreciate all the times you come on the show, man. It won't be the last.
Yeah, guys, it's been a blast. I don't think it's the end or anything. Like, I will definitely just continue to be your friends regardless. But
nope.
It's been fun. This has been. I remember the first time coming on, like talking to you guys for like an hour after the show, and I was like, I hope I get to come on again. And you know, it's cool that we get to do this. So thank you.
As we go on, we remember.
Wait, if they win the NIT, we got to do a live post game. I'll do it like from the Pirates press box.
Deal. But they're
okay.
Not playing the NIT. They're going to be okay. In March Madness. All right. Yeah. Great stuff, fellas. Everybody go on about their day. Thursday, that's when it all starts. So thanks for tuning in. As always, hail, loyal sons of Pittsburgh.
Prime time, 2:30 on a Thursday.
Please win.